He's wanted by India for defaulting on loans worth 9,000 crores. That's $1.4 billion. But when Vijay Mallya had his day in court today, he hadn't lost that swag. The liquor baron was accompanied by his son. And while there's been so much publicity and the CBI had met the Crown Prosecution Service last month to brief them about building a watertight case, what actually happened was a very brief hearing, under 30 minutes, and Vijay Mallya came out confident, saying that there was enough evidence to prove his case. Over the next half hour on the show, we'll hear from lawyers and former CBI investigators about whether Vijay Mallya is right or is it just bluster against a watertight CBI case. First, let's just hear what he said after the hearing.
I am not going to answer any of your questions.
There's a court of law. We will make our submissions before the appropriate courts of law.
Are you in the billion pounds?
To stay away from the media.
What happened to the billion pounds? It's a simple question.
You can keep dreaming about the billion pounds, provided you have facts.
Right.
To justify your question, all right? You don't know the facts, so don't ask irrelevant questions.
Your multiple houses in the UK, your multiple offshore bank accounts.
My multiple houses in the UK?
Yes.
I've been living here since 1992.
Right. Your huge mansion?
Mr. Mallya, but
sir, where you have to go to pay for it?
The Kingfisher Airline loan.
I live out of taxpayer earnings.
The
Kingfisher
Airline
loan
was
diverted to the
ICT. There was no loan diverted anywhere.
But India Today's got mails. Mr. Mallya, is there further evidence? Is there the submission due from the Indian government that is overdue and does not come in?
Didn't you hear it in the court?
Yes. I mean, is that the Indian government promised they would send something that they haven't?
You heard it in the court, self-explanatory. Didn't you hear it?
But what do you think that is?
I said, did you hear it or not?
I did hear. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Mallya, what are your plans now?
Sorry.
Blanks?
Yes. One here we go.
What blanks?
Well, what's he going to do for the next few days?
I'm going to defend myself in the court as I am expected to.
Right. Mr. Mallya, are you living my life? Are you relieved that the court has said that you don't have to come? Are you relieved? Is that some sort of... How do you see that? So that
Look, your colleagues were there in the courtroom. You heard everything, what the prosecution said. You heard what my lawyer said. You heard what the Honourable Judge said. I don't need to say anything more.
Mr. Mallya, you seemed rather upset by that episode at the Oval the other day when you were called a thief by
many
people.
I certainly was not called a thief.
Right.
I have video evidence. You may have heard it. Did you? Were you there?
Yes, I was.
You were?
Yes.
And two people in a drunken state started yelling.
Right.
Okay? But you didn't see the several others who came and wished me well. Right. That's your problem.
Okay, well then it's...
So are you happy that the court proceeding has finally happened so you can prove you're innocent?
Sir, do you think there is any political controversy against you in
any way?
Are you
happy
so long before you get a hearing?
Sir, just one question. Are you happy that you can finally put your case forward rather than all these rumors?
I'm delighted that I can put my case forward before a fair and impartial UK court. Yes, I am very happy with that opportunity.
Are you planning for the semi-final?
That's it.
Does it frustrate you, sir, that it's going to take so long before you get a hearing, a proper hearing?
Court process has to be followed, so whatever is the timetable of the court, I have to accept.
Vijay Mallya saying and telling reporters, you can keep dreaming about the billions when asked about the money he owes Indian banks. Well, is his confidence misplaced or not? Let's talk about that. Joining us from London, we have Harpreet Gyani. He's a barrister and advocate. We also have Sanjay Hegde, Supreme Court advocate. In studio, we have Balwinder Singh, formerly with the CBI and the chief investigator in the Satyam scam. And we also have Shubhamoy Bhattacharya, who's a journalist, senior journalist, and also the author of a new book, India's Cold Story. I want to start with you, Harpreet Gyani. As someone who is familiar with the Vijay Mallya's case, is his confidence misplaced?
Well,
I'm familiar with the kind of case that he's facing. I'm not familiar with his case in particular. I'm not instructed by him or by the Indian government. Is he in a happy place? I think he's in a very happy place. I think because of a lot of things that India has done wrong, I would be very surprised if he's extradited. Let's put it this way.
What are the things India's done wrong then?
Well, the biggest problem is, you know, when you ask for a country to extradite somebody, you're requesting them, you're not ordering them. And in this case, India is saying, can you please send him back because we want him to stand trial. Now, you need to make sure that you present the correct picture to the requested state. Now, in this case, you know, there are multiple rules. A, the requested state, that's the England and Wales, have a duty to ensure that he's not going to be subjected to any, you know, unusual, inhuman or degrading treatment in India, that he's going to get a fair trial, yeah, and that his extradition is being requested for specific offences that he's charged with, and there isn't going to be general witch hunting. But believe it or not, within India, we have managed to show to the world that we are capable of inflicting unusual and inhuman punishment. We have shown that we do like to embark on witch hunts. We've shown that when he is returned to India, there is a foregone conclusion that he is going to be judged guilty of a huge number of things. He's not going to be, he has the right to say, and I think with some basis, to say that he's not going to find a fair trial in India.
Mr. Balwinder Singh, would you like to respond to that?
I am rather shocked that Mr. Gyani is saying that in India we go for witch hunting. Our processes are so very fair and judiciary is so independent. And a person...
No, he's talking about the perception, sir.
The perception itself is that judicial processes are very fair and independent in India.
What about the mistakes that Harpreet Gyani says that India has perhaps made in projecting that, you know, the kind of conditions or the charges against him, saying that they're very strong, whereas today the court, what we got to know today from the court is that the court in the next date, which has been set in July, that's when in 2 weeks' time, that's when they will decide and examine the evidence. So has India been or CBI been too confident in its case already about Vijay Mallya?
I haven't supervised the investigation of this case. My knowledge is based only on media, but I have followed it closely. And media has been reporting the diversions of bank loans. The loans were taken for certain purposes. Were they used for the same purposes or were they diverted? Is there movement of funds abroad? The very fact that enforcement directorate is in picture and money laundering allegations are there. So those, in any case, he'll get fair trial. But prima facie evidence definitely exists. Otherwise, they would not have gone for extradition.
Sanjay Hegde, apart from the concerns about extradition can't be possible because of these concerns, and that's been the concern in other extradition processes as well, about whether the person will be, you know, whether there's a witch hunt or whether they will get death penalty or not, which shouldn't be a concern in this case because it's only an economic crime, and we only had to, that was only a concern in cases like Abu Salim. Do you think India's handled it well, or would you agree with what Harpreet Gyani is saying?
Well, Harpreet is the man on the spot who in London. He has a better understanding of the London courts. And there is an old Marwadi saying, Jahan ki tirat, wahi ka panda. So I always defer to local wisdom on such matters. I, as an observer, I can only tell you this, that India has had a very bad success rate insofar as extraditing people from England is concerned. We failed with Iqbal Mirchi. We failed with Ravi Shankaran of the Navy War League case. We failed with Nadeem Shravan. So let us hope that we've done a better job here. You are right that this is essentially an economic offense. And the biggest economic offense is that he threw around money till he went broke. Prosecuting somebody for bankruptcy, a criminal prosecution, is rather tough. At least in English law does not look upon it with much favor.
Right.
So we have a very high burden to make in an English court. I would not like to jump and read the evidence ahead of the schedule. There's just one little point I want to add. All that is happening right now is our administrative hearing. The court is deciding how long is this matter going to take, how much of a hearing will it require, and it will give a date sometime in the foreseeable future, and according to some sources, it's possible only sometime next year. So we all have to wait. We need not rush to judgment.
Okay, we shouldn't rush to judgment, but Shubhamoy, as someone who has studied a lot of these, especially financial scams, how do you think this is being projected? Is it because it's also a very political case, and it was when last month he was arrested very shortly and then bailed out, it was seen as a huge success for India as well, because you know the story that came out was that the Prime Minister's also, after he met Theresa May, a lot of the things started moving. So do we have a lot at stake? Is that why, and is that actually realistic? Because when you think about realistically, as Sanjay Hegde was saying, very few successes of extraditions.
That's true, but then we haven't been there before. I mean, even the earlier cases, frankly speaking, it's been a learning curve for India, whether it's been the criminal cases. And on white-collar crimes, we certainly haven't had very major cases going to internationally.
Right.
So we really haven't been there. We have had cases between nations, you know, arbitration issues, those we have done. But like, say, the coal cases, they are all being handled within India at the Sessions Court level. Even the Satyam case, that was within India. So we really haven't tested the waters. So to be able to say that we will not be successful is at this stage pretty premature. And frankly speaking, the evidence against Vijay Mallya is not that difficult. It's, in a way,
it's quite obvious.
It's
and
quite
it's
obvious.
Good evidence.
It's good evidence,
right,
that there has been a problem.
Right.
If there are other companies which are coming to grief on the same case, then this is also the same case where it's a clear case of money being taken from a bank, not being used. There is a clear, I mean, the evidence that the banks are giving of the money having become NPA, and not because of the fact that it's a genuine business problem, but of diversion.
And CBI and its FIR has also gone into details, like they feel that it's also been, some of the money has also been diverted abroad, that the, you know, this has been, in fact, they say it's 1,300 crores which has been diverted abroad as well. So it's not just defaulting on loans. CBI has taken the case much further.
Exactly. I mean, you're not just defaulting for genuine business reasons, but you're taking the money out for the state from the stated purpose. So that definitely would connote an offense. And I think in most countries governed by the OECD regulations and others, it is a more or less a clear case of a business loan not being paid, not because of good measure, but because of the fact that the promoter is not willing to pay.
So, Mr. Balwinder Singh, there is instance and there is precedent of bringing back people who have been guilty or been charged, well, I shouldn't say guilty, who have been charged with financial crimes, of being brought back for justice, even on this count? Because the only other extradition case that we have is the successful one with UK, the UK one, that was Portugal.
Yes, that's Portugal.
But in the UK, it was a 2002 riot case. So are there precedents from other countries of financial crime, someone being brought back?
I'm aware of many other cases, drug peddling cases and other cases. I don't remember, I'm not able to recollect a case of financial crime where we have extradited any person from abroad. But in India, a number of arrests have been made in financial crimes and we have successfully prosecuted.
So Harpreet, can you elaborate on what you said? Shubhamoy is here talking about how clear-cut, and it looks quite clear-cut, the FIR of the kind of financial transactions that took place. CBI seems to have and says it has evidence. Why is it, first of all, that it said, one of the things that the court said today is that they're going to look at how it is. CBI is yet to finalize. It said, the court said that India is yet to finalize the evidence against Mallya. If it has been, the case has been there since, and he's been in the UK since March, and the FIR has been pending for quite some time now, then why is it that this was said?
Well, there's one myth that we must dispel, and that is this: whether it's a financial crime or a terrorism accused, or if it's, you know, even somebody who's accused of a traffic violation of, you know, driving very rashly and negligently resulting in criminal charges. As far as extradition law is concerned, it's all the same. It doesn't make any difference. The court in UK is not sitting here to weigh or evaluate the evidence against Mallya for the offences, regulatory offences, financial offences or whatever that he's charged with in India. That's simply not what the courts in England are supposed to be doing. It's the same as if a request comes to Indian courts for extradition from India of a person, the Indian courts will do the same exercise using the same parameters. Now, having said that, let us for a minute concede that the CBI, the Enforcement Directorate within India, has a watertight case against Mallya. I'm willing to concede that without looking at the evidence, of course. So just for the sake of argument, let's say that they've got a brilliant watertight case against him. Does that automatically mean that he's liable to be extradited? And the answer is no, because the court in England must be satisfied that, letting aside the offense for a moment, is he going to be subjected to any unusual or harsh treatment within India? Now, there are two problems. The first is a lot of media channels, you know, the shouting channels, the news channels in India, they've prejudged him and they've started gathering up a huge amount of public opinion against him. And the comments which are coming even from respectable lawyers and ministers are that we will get him back and we will put him in jail and all of that. So there's an element that the court is going to be disturbed. Maybe he's been prejudged and he will not get fair.
Are his lawyers using that, Harpreet Gyani? Are they saying this in court?
It is premature because today was a case management hearing. They would not have disclosed their cards yet. But this is a logical argument that they would make. Now, that is the first. The second is, it involves you, very, very honestly. If you look at your own book, the one that you've done recently about the conditions in jail, and then, you know, you put together this Subrat Roy matter as well, where without even being indicted or charged or convicted for anything, the gentleman was kept in prison for almost 2 years. You've detailed the kind of conditions in prison. All he has to do is, if I were his lawyer, I would hold up a copy of your book and say, right, is India going to give an assurance that as long as the trial is going on, I will not be arrested, not thrown in jail? No court, no prosecutor in India will give that assurance. Without that assurance, I would hold up your book and say, right, this is what I expect to see when I land in India. I'm going to be thrown in jail using the same mug for X and Y functions. The courts are going to be horrified. It would be absolutely impossible for him, for the court to send him to India, even if they said he's undesirable in this country, he's plainly guilty of the offences that he's charged with, but the European Convention on Human Rights kicks in, Article 3, it is a cruel, degrading, inhuman thing that he's likely to be exposed to in India, he will go away. Go on.
No, sorry, thanks for the plug on my book, by the way, but I just wanted to get reactions on that. So, you know, this is something, and as Harpreet Gyani is saying, it doesn't matter. I mean, I thought there's a difference between Abu Salim saying that, because his was a case of, you know, it was a different kind of case altogether, a terrorism case and things like that. But in this case, to say that this kind of targeting might be used, how do you respond to that?
I think nobody can stop him from making that argument.
But that would weaken our case. You accept that?
That will depend on the British court, the district judge who is hearing it. But the other side, which is presenting Indian side of the story, should be able to impress that criminals here, not criminals, rather accused persons, do get fair trial and conditions are fairly dignified as far as processes are concerned.
How would you respond to this kind of thing being used, this kind of alleged witch hunt against being used by Mallya in court in the UK?
You can bet your life that every argument that is open to Mallya will be taken there. And I am indebted to my friend from London for pointing out that what we take for routine out here horrifies a system which believes in the rule of law. We have forgotten that we need to talk softly but carry a big stick. We seem to shout, we seem to indulge in what to a lot of civilized societies looks like a witch hunt. we have to, as a country, probably step back here. Coming back to this particular case, you must also realize that India has to go through the Crown Prosecution Service.
Yeah.
It is the British government which presents the request for extradition. We have gone only through the first stage, that is that the minister is certified. After the minister is certified, we are at the judicial hearing stage, and even there only at the case management stage. It would actually add to India's case immeasurably if we were not to get into shouting and slanging matches on various channels, as has happened even today. I don't think it adds anything to our case, and it probably weakens us, as we've been rightly warned.
Okay, so aside from the media trial, Shobha, just, you know, because you, Mr. Balwinder Singh and Harpreet Gyani also brought up the case of, you know, the Sahara Shri over here. So if you look at it, what's our record been with high-profile defaulters or high-profile offenders? And keeping that in mind, how hopeful are you that we're going to see this?
In fact, I was thinking that whether this mistrial, which is being thrown up as a possibility, applies to the high-profile cases. And in fact, I find that in most all the major white-collar crimes, the gentleman in question, it's been mostly gentlemen, they have had a rather soft treatment from the courts. Subrata Roy carried on in the Supreme Court, in the Tihar jail, almost like an auction house.
Right.
It's
Lalit Modi, we didn't even have the Interpol notice.
In fact, I don't really recall any major white-collar crime, anybody accused of white-collar crime, of really having a rough end of the stick. But again, that's not the question that he should have it.
Satyam case, he is still in jail.
No, he's down. I mean,
I don't know whether.
He spent years in jail, but as an under trial.
Right.
But again, there, the point was that none of them actually ever came out to say that, you know, we were mistreated, we were harassed and all that. So I don't think that's an issue. But more, but I think the big problem that comes along is that it's not about media, it's more about the perception that the Indian judicial system is not able to deliver justice. And I think that is a fair point that could be taken on. But I was also wondering that if this is the case, then probably many of the coal cases which are happening, many of the under trials might find that they are probably better served of being in UK or in other countries and, you know, claiming that they will not get a fair trial back home. So I don't think it's all that cut and dried. There is a lot of issue here. The point is that any defendant would have the right, as Mr. Hegde is pointing out again, that there would be lots of people who lots of issues would be thrown up and lots of evidence.
What advice would you give your colleagues in the CBI just to sum up now, because they have their next hearing in July? What advice would you give them as they are briefing the CPS, the Crown Prosecution Service?
As Mr. Hegde pointed out, today was only case management stage.
Sure.
That is laying down the schedule and finding out how much time it will take and things like that. When actual hearing takes place,
Naturally
they have to brief the Crown Prosecution properly. It's a document based.
And never forget the basics, like make sure all the warrants are right and all, which is what went wrong in the Quatrochi case. Final word to you,
Harpreet. In this case,
Yes, sir.
It's a document based case.
Okay.
There's a complete trail available through banking channels. These cases are easy to prima facie proof. Of course, it's not for the British court to evaluate
this evidence.
That's right.
They don't, in an extradition,
but they have to see prima facie whether the matter exists or not. And then, of course, other factors which Mr. Gyani pointed out about the conditions in this country. About the conditions in this country, my own perception is that we are rather softer vis-a-vis the Western world when it comes to economic criminals.
Right.
And they get fairly cushy time.
Yeah, you agree with that. Okay. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But it's, of course, about perception and what he projects. We're totally out of time, Harpreet Gyani. But if you had to give one line advice to the CBI before the next hearing in July?
Stick to the law. Apart from extradition, there are a huge number of international legal tools available to you. Please use them. Sit down and provide assurances to the English court that you will treat him with dignity, you will give him a fair trial. You are not going to throw him in jail at one trial unnecessarily.
Okay.
You will
So stick to the law.
Okay. All right. Good advice there. Harpreet Gyani, Sanjay Hegde, Ms.
I have one piece of advice.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
I have one piece of advice, if you don't mind. One piece of advice is stop leaking your case to Indian channels for and arguing it out on Indian channels.
Okay. Okay, let's not stop our reporting at all. Thanks very much to all my guests. That's it on the show. We'll be back again tomorrow. Join us then. Goodbye.